come up here tonight. Yeah. Boy, you know, you try following them little guys around, and they just get so far ahead of you, you know, they're at your heels. Oh, well. That's okay. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that we really are free. And we really have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Father, Abba, Father, thank you. So, Lord, we just bless you. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let, Lord, everything that I say be to your glory and to your honor. And we appreciate you, Lord, and we thank you for who you are. Amen. Well, I'm going to start off with a couple testimonies that's happened just lately this week. And I think they're very pertinent to the body of Christ in general. And so that's why I guess the Lord has prompted me to share them. My nephew right now is married. He's 36, 37 years old. But growing up, he grew up under my brother, the same brother that led me to Christ 40 years ago. But my brother allowed him, as a young teenager and so on, to get into sports. And, I mean, he was very hot as a Christian before that. And please understand me, I'm not talking about sports as being bad. But you know, you got to know that that's what God's call is for you. And so he got really good. He got real handy with the ball, and he was scouted by the St. Louis Cardinals. And some of them scouts come up here to Toronto to watch him play a game. And as they did, Jason, that's his name, his position was back catcher. And he was back catching in his position, and somebody hit the ball, but somebody was on third base. So as they were running down, he went to block him and stop him, catch the ball, and get him out. Well, this guy ran into him so hard and hit his knee that he blew his knee out. And so he just went from one thing to another and so on, working and so on. But then he said, hey, I'm going to go be a police officer. And so he did. He's been a police officer now for the best part of 10 years. But the thing is, he was still out there. He was so far out there that he met a woman who was an atheist. And you see the progression of what happened with him. And I say this pertinent to the body of Christ, because we have got to know. We have got to stand up for our kids, for our friends' kids. We've got to stand up for ourselves. We got to know who we are in Christ. We got to know what the plan and the will of God is for us. And so he married this girl, wonderful girl, but also a career girl. And they were married for a bit, and then actually this girl, without revealing too much, but she would say it anyways, she's a little firecracker now, but then she was at work, career girl, her mom was into tarot cards, her sister was into tarot cards, and all the rest of it, and she grew up with this. She didn't want anything to do with it, but she just grew up in that and was position seeking and so on. About 4 years ago, they both got, well, he got rededicated, and she got born again. Amen. So that was about 4 years ago. And so there was some touch-and-go times there, because Jason, as a leader, he had backslidden, and he didn't get turned on to the fire. You know how some people get saved, and bang, that's it. Look out, they're gone. Pedal to the metal. Well, he wasn't like that this time. And so he and his wife, Melanie, he came back to the Lord, and she got born again. They started going to my daughter's church, and my daughter's a pastor. Many of you know her, Pastor Jamie. And she is a discipler, and she is very strong in the Lord and has been for decades now. And so, well, all her life, really. Anyway, she would go up and see Melanie, because they started having kids and they had little kids. So Jamie would go up to see Melanie once a week to disciple her. And they went through much things, including baptism in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, and all the rest of it. Well, Melanie started to grow. And boy, did she grow. The other night, this week, her grandmother went to the hospital. Actually, she was there for 6 weeks. She was in her bed, and she's 96. She's 97 today, but she's gone now. But just, I'll relay this. A few days before this, like last week, at the beginning of the week probably, she was there for 6 weeks on tubes and everything else. She had never given her heart to Christ over this 96 years. But Melanie and Jason were at their home. And this is how the Spirit of God works. He is so good and he wants your family more than you want them. Jason said, look at Melanie, it's your grandmother. Otherwise I'd go, but I feel very strong to suggest to you that you need to contact her. This granny that was in bed in the hospital, every once in a while she'd start kicking her feet and yelling, you're not taking me, they're not taking me. They were demons coming to get her. You see, Melanie began praying for her a few years back. She's not an old Christian, 4 years old maybe. But she's a discipled one and she loves God and she's a spitfire now. But anyways, she called up to her grandma's hospital room. And her mother was there, but her mother was in the tarot cards, okay? So Melanie cut right through the chase. She says, Mom, put your phone to Grammy's ear. As the mother did that, Melanie tried to talk to her and really didn't get anywhere, but sensed that there was much more to do and much more to say. Well, the next day she jumped in the car and she drove up because it's 80 miles from there. It's a New Market area and they live down in Oshawa. In any case, as she was driving up, she went into the room. She forcibly asked her mother to leave with the tarot cards and her sister. And she was alone in the room. And she said, Nanny, I'm going to pray with you. And if you can hear me, just whatever it was, squeeze my hand, do this, nod, whatever it was. And Nanny said, yes. So as Melanie prayed, Nanny accepted Christ. And within an hour, she was dead. Nanny is saved. Nanny is saved. Nanny is saved. I'll tell you. So needless to say, one of their calls was to me. And I was talking to Jason the other day, and he told me the whole story. And they're very excited. They have just broken through and went into the new realm, another realm. How many, and you don't need to show my hands, but how many have trouble with speaking to and praying for family? That's hard. It's very hard. I remember way back the first time that I did, it was really, really hard. Anyways, she broke through that ice. That's done. Nanny is saved. But she caused problems between her and her mother. But she chose the high road. She'll go after her mother. And someday her mother will come to Christ. Her mother is an eternal being. She looked past the flesh. You see, she was discipled. I think here you've got one of the greatest discipling systems, if I could call it a system, ministry, that maybe there is. I understand that the little ones are discipling the littler ones. That's amazing. I think every church should be like that, but it's not. You're very fortunate to be here. Thank you, Lord. Anyways, Nanny is saved, and now she'll go after her mother and father. So I just want you to know that that is very pertinent to today. If I could pick parts of that story, I would say my nephew, Jason, followed the sports. When that didn't work, he went into as a policeman. They were making lots of money. They were happy, it seemed, but something was missing. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. So they are walking now in the Lord, and all is good. You can't go down that road if God's not leading you. And he came from, Jason came from a family that really, in them days, served God. So bless God. And I just want to encourage you with that. Don't give up. Never quit. And when God speaks to you, go. Amen. Every person on earth is an eternal person. And they will spend it somewhere. Don't let them go to hell if it's in your reach. Melanie could have said, no, I don't think so. I mean, it's my family. I'm, you know, a little bit this, a little bit. No, she went. And as a result, Granny got saved. Amen. She's 97 today, and she's spending her 97th birthday with Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so she's, pardon me? Yeah, amen. That's all right. You can talk. I appreciate you, man. She takes my stupid jokes and she laughs. Oh, glory to God. I meant that as a compliment. Yeah. Thank you. I'll receive that. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about impasses. I have spoken in the last few times about tongues. Surprise, surprise. In case you didn't know, sometimes I speak about that. But I'm so in love with God. I'm so in love with Jesus. I'm so in love with the Holy Spirit that I just cannot not to. And I do know other things, by the way. Not much, but I do know other things. Someone says, prove it. Anyway, I do want to talk about the impasses. We are stewards of our own edification, correct? When we pray, we can pray anytime we want to, just because we want to, and we can pray from a stone-cold heart, so really there's no excuse. Edification means anointed to understand or to instruct and improve in knowledge, generally and particularly in moral and religious knowledge. In other words, edification is to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. It's to edify our spirit so that we become superstructures. Every scripture verse that you have heard since Sunday school, when you pray in tongues, you're praying the mystery and the understanding of that verse out before the Father. No matter what's come into you by way of the Word, it's in there. The Lord created this language for us. Guess why? Because our own earthly language couldn't articulate or communicate the way we need to pray. And I'm talking about prayer for personal edification. So impasses. Do you believe that a church can be going through an impasse at the same time?
Absolutely.
I think that's that could be happening. So as brothers and sisters, we need to just stay strong.
Right.
Stand. This too shall pass.
Amen.
I know we go through individual impasses. The impasses that I'm talking about is very dry, cracker juice dry places. Lord, where are you again? So it seems like our minds kick in. We know you're there. We don't sense you and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Have you taken a walk? Have you left me alone over here? Well, no, he hasn't. He says he'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
But as a church, we can be going through that too. And we just hold on to the Lord and to his word and what he's doing. Get through it victorious. But impasses can be also a hard place. You ever walking down, or can you imagine walking through someplace south where it's warm, and you walk through the mountains, and the path gets really, really, really narrow, and your shoulders are rubbing up against it, and there's no way back. But you got to keep going forward. And as you look down this little pathway, you see that it goes almost into nothing. Gets hard. But as you work at it, you'll get through that, and then you'll come out into a big place. So that's an impasse. An impasse is a dry place. It's a hard place. But as we stick with it, we will get through that, and we'll come out into a larger place where man will be free-flowing again. So impasses can be a character flaw, which is brought into the light. I mean, when you're praying in the Spirit, and at other times, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying, the Holy Spirit is praying through you, but for you, in you. And so he's praying out the mysteries for you, the direction that he has for you, and also the edification that happens. So you're growing in the Lord, you're maturing. And he's also praying out God's perfect plan for you. And so the impasse is that that's a character flaw that he's praying on. Some people say, you know, I don't really have time to pray. Well, if you pray in the Spirit long enough, don't you think he will deliver you from not having enough time? I told you I knew other things. But really, seriously. So you feel like when you're in an impasse, you say, man, nothing's happening. This is too hard. Offenses come easy. You pick them up like a magnet. You get angry at everyone, except your pastor. Whoa. And everybody is mean to you. But if you stay in prayer, God will be able to take you from level to level, right, or from amazing spot to amazing spot, even though it's hard, rough, sharp, narrow. That's the way it is. Basically, you're always going into one, you're in one, or you're coming out of one, because God wants you mature. That's what he wants us to be, mature. And we get used to it as a way of life. Someone says, oh no, I thought the last one I went through was, that was it. Maybe not. But one thing for sure, it's very beneficial for you. Because it's what Pastor was talking about this morning. It's not about you. If I could paraphrase it, it's not about us. It's about getting strong and becoming mature so that we can do things for other people, like Melanie. I mean, she is in a place of glory, of victory, of freedom. She's sitting at home thinking and knowing that her granny's with Jesus on her birthday, 97th birthday. So that's an impasse. So if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. What's the matter, you? All right, never mind that. But if through the prayer of the Holy Spirit you are habitually putting to death and making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. King James says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if according to the Spirit, and allow the Spirit to put them deeds to death, you will live and you'll have life. And it's the life. It's the life. But it may cost. Now, the next thing that would go along with that would be mortification. Because mortification is really something that we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work on it with us. I mean, we have the impasses, but we come in and we come out of them. And hopefully we're out of them long enough to really enjoy things. No, sometimes God takes us right back into one because he's trying to get something off. Now, there are other ways, too. There's fasting. There's meditation assimilation. There's confession of the word. There's private worship and worship. There's being still and know that he is God and all the rest of it. There's so many ways for transformation. But the mortification process is the action of subduing the body's desires. I said it before, but I mean this, and I've had experience with this part of it. If the sin that you have been dealing with is like the elephant, and you really don't want to deal with it because you feel it's too hard or whatever, if you keep praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will pray through you for you, and that elephant will start shrinking. And pretty soon it'll become like the fly in the ground or even not. But if it's as big as the fly in the ground, you just stamp on it. Like the scripture, I believe it was actually tonight, or was it this morning? Pastor quoted in Romans 6:14, where it says, sin shall not have dominion over you. It shall not have dominion. You might say, well, gee, I'm only human and I do sin, and how could I ever get to the place where sin will not have dominion over me? Listen, you can. God wants you there, and God's power will bring you there. Right. He loves you too much to let you sit in that mess. And he'll even make you want to. If you're doing something that you like and you know it's wrong, when you begin to pray in extended periods of time in tongues, you will get to the point where you don't want to do that because you're hurting your Lord.
Right, that's good.
And not only are you hurting your Lord, you're not becoming mature enough to where he wants you so that you can minister to family. Mm-hmm. And where you can minister to that person in the office or in the factory. He wants you there. He wants us there. So the Holy Spirit, I've got a list of things here, six little notes of what happens. First, the Holy Spirit wakes up your conscience to something that you are doing wrong. This may take even weeks or months, but now you are emotionally ready because he's waking you up to the fact that, hey, this is wrong. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible talks about filthiness of flesh and filthiness of spirit. The filthiness of flesh is what we do in terms of sin and habits and old ways and so on, following the carnal nature. But the filthiness of spirit is really, basically, it boils down to error. The Bible says that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. He says, do not destroy the temple. And yes, smoking cigarettes and drinking and all the rest of that stuff will destroy your outward temple. But he's really talking about more, I think. He's talking about the temple that we are, the temple of the Holy Spirit. He wants this temple not filled with any filthiness. He does not want us walking in error because we're going to miss the mark every time. If we're going down the road and we go off 1% now, in 5 years we're going to be 22% off.
Right.
And then we're in trouble. Because there are a lot of stuff that the enemy can come and do now that he wasn't able to do.
Right.
But you've walked in that to the point where if you're off 20 or 30%, you are in trouble. Because you're following error. You're praying and your prayers, are not getting through. You've got 1,000 prayers up on the wall in the shelves. Then doubt comes in and unbelief. And so you need to pray and you want to pray and you want to see this person free and you don't see it. Then you say, well, why bother? You still need to bother. You still need to continue. But you need to understand that people that are deceived are the only ones that don't know it. Everybody else knows it, it seems. No matter what we need to do, we need to get out of there. Sure, we're born again, but we're walking over here. I'm going to say this. I'm not going to mention any names, but I know these people, and there is one person who is well known, and he's going around speaking at conferences, doing things and so on, and he does not believe in the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Father is seated in heaven. Jesus is seated at the right hand. But the Holy Spirit is here to be in us, to lead us and guide us in all truth. When he came, he's not speaking on his own authority. He's still subject to the Father. But he is not the Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. But he brings us to Jesus Christ. And he runs the mind of Christ through us as we step up extended times of prayer. And by the way, if you cannot pray hours and hours and so on because you're busy, then I'd like to suggest, why not start with 15 minutes and get up to 4 times a day? When I was pastoring in Quebec, I did this. I sometimes often wonder if it was completely right with them. But when I was, let's say, when I re-met the Holy Spirit, put it like that, in 2003. I mean, I always prayed in tongues, but never was I so passionate about it. Never was I so on fire for it. But I asked every leader to pray 20 hours a week in tongues. And one came up with a good idea. He says, okay, that's no problem. He's trying to figure some time. He's a busy guy. He had 5 or 6 kids. He says, every time I get in my car, I pray. So he got to the point where he said, wheel, pray. Get into the wheel. When he hit the wheel, pray. And he prayed to work and then home from work. He got his 20 hours in because he worked over in Ontario. We lived in Quebec. He had a little ways to go. But we have to find time. Nobody's special. Everybody's busy. But we still have to find time. If you prayed 1 hour a week, 1 hour a day, times 7, that's 7 hours a week, that's about, with 168 hours a week, that's about 4 or 5% of your time. That's not a lot, but it's 7 hours that you prayed the mind of Christ through you. You don't have to line up and get somewhere and have a meeting and a date with the Lord. Just pray as you can. It'll all add up. If you pray 15 minutes, it'll be 15 minutes further into the Lord you're going. Into the Lord where you're allowing the Holy Spirit to pray the mind of Christ through you. Believe me, it works. It's the same with fasting. If you can't fast for a 40-day or 21 days or 10-day, whatever, 3 days, then intermittently fast. If you were to fast 1 day a week, that's 52 days in a year. God does the same things. But anyways, if you were to pray 1 hour a day times 365 days, in 1 year you prayed 365 hours in the Holy Spirit. And he is downloading things to you. He's edifying you. He's taking you in him. It may not be as quick as praying 10 hours a day, but if that's all the time you got, it can be. So none of us are special. We all get busy and we get into busy times. But I'm telling you, if you start doing this, it'll work for you. It will, because it's not some fad. It's not some marketing scheme. It's not even mathematics about doing it 1 hour a day times 365 days. Just a little math to add in there to show you how much you can pray in 1 hour in the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit wakes up your conscience to something that you're doing wrong. Now you're emotionally ready. So now, number two, that means that he is there with power to put it to death. Mortification is really subduing the deeds and the desires of the body. It's taking them out. It's killing them. And it's cutting it right to the root. So what happens is, He's there with the power to put it to death. But first of all, when you start praying in tongues, you'll be free-flowing. Things will be great. You'll have revelations. You'll get edified and all the rest of it. You'll begin to get to know Jesus a lot more than you do now. But then something happens. You hit an impasse. When someone really gets strong into, yes, I'm going to pray in the Spirit and so on, I give them 2 to 4 months, and then I watch. Because then they start hitting things. The Lord starts bringing things up. And I say 2 to 4 months because I've seen it over and over and over and over again. But you have to get through that. One of the first impasses will be to stop praying. Stop. Stop it. This is foolishness. You're going to get weird. Oh, no, you're not going to get weird. The devil's weird for saying that. He is afraid of this, I'm telling you. He is really afraid of this because you become unmanageable. Amen. Right on. Number 3, you need to add your faith and begin to resist it. That's your part. The power is there. The flaw has shown up. And you need to give Holy Spirit permission to remove the root. But see, He's only going to deal with, now get this, He's only going to deal with the thing that you've been praying about in the Spirit. You don't know it. Your understanding is unfruitful because you pray in the Spirit. But He knows what you need because He has the perfect plan for you in your life. But you need to give Him permission because He's pulling that thing out from the root. So then mortification takes place. You have agreed and you've lined up with the Holy Spirit. And you said, yes, I want this thing gone. But also remember this. You may want some things gone because you have a vision for you, which is fine. But the Holy Spirit comes along and says, okay, but I want this gone. He does that a lot. It's okay, though. It all works. You just kind of sit down and say, okay, what? Number 5, the Holy Spirit cleanses you from it. Woohoo! I'm free. I am free. No? Oh, boy. The Holy Spirit cleanses you from it. Especially if it's a doctrine that you're kind of a pet doctrine or something. Or an unbelief. He wants us moving in power. You know, he'll cause us to want to go deeper. He's done that with me. Just this week, I think around Thursday or Friday, there was about 7 people that I was aware of that week that were really going through major healing situations. And it wasn't just small things either. A lot of them were very, very hard cases. I'm talking to a friend, a minister. He's got cancer. And they give him 6 months to live. But he's flying high. He's believing. He's believing. But then again, on the other hand, the person that we prayed for here with the prayer cloths, and I brought them to the other church, and they prayed with them on the prayer cloths. We believed. And I was moving in such faith. I had seen other people healed and all the rest of it. When we went down to the hospital room, there was such a glory that we couldn't stand up. This man was a Quebecer. Now, I'm telling you, you think there's a lack of Christians in Ontario? In Quebec, there's 0.05%. In a province of 8 million people, that boils down to about 40,000 people. That's a big province. This guy, as a Quebecer, he had so much love for Quebec. And he wanted to go back into Quebec. And he wanted to go back in with me because I knew the places to go, but he was going to come as the French guy with the French heart. They are different than us. They're very amazing people. They're just different in a way. They're different. They have strong and high emotion. But in any case, last night he passed away. It challenged my faith to the core. I said, Lord, what do we need to do? He says, verily, verily, if we believe on him, the works that he does, we will do also in greater works than him, right? Well, the greatest work beyond any shadow of a doubt is getting someone born again. Okay? After that, there's the healings and deliverances. There's all the stuff that we need. In Christianity, healing is the dinner bell, meaning that if you get someone healed, if someone gets healed, there'll be a flock of people. You know, when the time comes, when one of them young fellas get out of that wheelchair, or someone walks in and they get healed and have to leave the crutch somewhere, or you're hanging up on here as a memorandum to that, people are going to start hearing that. That's what I mean by the dinner bell. And people are going to start coming. So why does the devil fight it so hard? Because he doesn't want people to marvel as he did when Jesus healed them. I said, Jesus, you know, when you were here, you did all these works. You know, the maimed had things that grew, arms and legs and so on. They could rise up and walk on their feet that they've not been on for years and years. So bones had to start being healed as well. And strength had to come into them. And Lord, when you said out, it came out to any demon. Everyone that you prayed for got healed. That's the God we serve. So I'm thinking, and on and on. But that's what we thinking. That's what I was thinking after last night. Because it hit me, but it challenged me. It challenged me to go deeper. I am so sorry that this man did not make it. He should have. And I'm asking the Lord as to why. So if you see something that's not working, or if you prayed for something or someone and it didn't happen, go deeper. Get better, not bitter. The whole thing is that you need to go further and stronger and deeper into the Lord. Now, I know that Quebec needed him. He's a man that was out there. He was like an evangelist. He loved God. He ministered over and over. He knew how to pray. He knew the word. So what happened? Because it wasn't just my faith, but my faith was moving so high that he could not be healed. And the glory of God came into that room to the point where we couldn't stand after I left here the night that we prayed on them prayer cloths. So I'm going deeper. Lord, I want to see things happen in my ministry the way they happened in yours, because you said it could happen. You didn't say, I'm going to do this, but you guys can't. No, he said, as I am, so are you in this world. Number six, your cleansing from it is allowing the Holy Spirit to edify you and take you closer to his plan for you. I want to encourage you with that. If you're going through a hard time, you know what? Tell your flesh, honestly, to shut up. You're in charge. Who's in charge? You are. The real you. Your spirit, man. And I will close with this scripture. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says, how much more surely shall the blood of Christ, who by virtue of his eternal spirit, the Holy Spirit, here we go again, everything that he is telling us, he's telling us by way of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus is not here in the flesh. If he was, oh, thank you, Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. Go up and touch the hem of his garment and get healed, or get him to lay hands on you, and boom, done. Well, the Holy Spirit's here. We just got to get to know him without seeing him with our eyes, like we would see Jesus. And as I said, Jesus Christ is the Lord, not the Holy Spirit. So he's not going to lead you into that, for he will not speak of his own authority. He's submitted to God the Father. He is a comforter. He's another comforter, the second comforter, because Jesus was the first. So he says here that, I'll start again. How much more surely shall the blood of Christ, who by virtue of his eternal spirit, and I'm reading the Amplified, his own preexistent divine personality has offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice to God, purify or purge our consciences from dead works and lifeless observances to serve the everlasting God. He wants to purge us so that we can go deeper and serve the everlasting God. And by the way, we're not to serve him as hirelings. We're to serve him as sons and bond slaves. We don't work for the business. We are part of the business. And so that's how we're to serve him. Actually, I will close with one more scripture. If you turn to John, I think the Lord just said that, so I will. John, John 14. No, go to John 16, please. The Amplified version of this, I'm going to read from 13 to 15. The Amplified version of this is amazing. But I'm going to read the King James because I have a parallel Bible here. And I want you to notice how many times the Holy Spirit is mentioned. In fact, in one verse, in verse 15, he's mentioned 7 times. Jesus speaking, he says, "Howbeit, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." I think Jesus was trying to get a point over. Verse 14, what shall he do? Well, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. How does he show it unto you? Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine, and therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So, Father, I thank you for who you are. I just bless you, Lord, that you have sent the second comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And I would like to pray a little different at first tonight as the worship team, I guess, comes. I would like to
The truth.